time for your Saturday morning coffee with Reese Boyd. So wake me up when it's all over. When I'm wiser and I'm older. All this time I was finding myself and I didn't know I was gone. Reese Boyd is on right now. Talk 94.5.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another edition of Saturday Morning Coffee, the Reese Boyd Radio Hour, Saturday, March the 23rd, 7:07 on your Saturday morning. Thanks for joining us here on the big show. I am, of course, Reese Boyd, local attorney here in town. At Saturday Morning Coffee, we invite you to sit down, pour yourself a cup of your favorite coffee. Join us as we talk about the news, current events, everything happening in this crazy world that we think you need to know about here at Saturday Morning Coffee. We love a few things. We love limited government. We love lower taxes. We love all the things that mean more freedom for you, more freedom for me, more freedom for all of us who are we the people. We got a country to save, folks. We got a big election in November. Everything hangs in the balance. Man, if you didn't believe that you live in a world where liberty is perched precariously on the edge of a cliff, you better start believing, because that's where we are, folks. We are perched on the edge of a cliff. Which way is it going to roll? That's the question of the hour. Which way is it going to roll? It's an amazing time in American history, and the thing that I keep coming back to is that freedom is a very tenacious thing. It's a very persistent thing, and it's a desire that is innate to all of us. It's a God-given right, and that's why we all are willing to fight for it. A lot going on to talk about today. Got a big show coming up for you. Joined here in the studio, as always, by producer extraordinaire Dr. Glenn Dye. Dr. Dye, how's your March 23rd shaping up this morning?
Pretty good, but I'd really like to have Mark Zuckerberg's new boat.
That's a nice little, for tooling around on medium-sized lakes. That's a
medium-sized lake.
That's a nice little toy.
Well, for $300 million, I think he can go anywhere he wants to go.
You said somebody was asking if you can fish.
From a cruise ship. No, not that. Not Mark Zuckerberg's ship. But there's some
video online I saw, Glenn, that somebody was literally casting from a cruise ship. I think they got in trouble, but they were.
I bet they did.
Yeah. They were casting from a cruise ship over their balcony.
Yeah, 287-foot super yacht, $300 million.
Not bad.
Now, and if you can afford that, then you've got it made.
I mean, not bad for somebody who. Did he almost fail out of Harvard? He did graduate, didn't he?
I can't even remember. I thought he left early. Yeah. Because of Facebook.
Why didn't we come up with that idea, Glenn?
I'm still kicking myself for not coming up with Velcro.
Yeah. I mean, I could have come up, or the Post-it note. There's any number of things we could have come up with. Yeah. But nonetheless, man, what a week, Glenn. So much to talk about.
And, poor President Trump. I feel so bad for him, the way that this has gone down.
Are we talking about at the moment?
We're talking about wanting to seize Trump Towers or seize his properties.
Oh yeah,
because of the over $500 million bond that he has to post.
How can a prosecution be more blatantly political, Glenn?
None. No way.
I don't understand. Letitia James. I mean, they all ran on the platform of going after Trump.
Yep.
Get Trump.
Yep.
And the things that this knucklehead judge...
Oh, my gosh.
This knucklehead judge has charged him with... We call this capitalism, Glenn. Yep. And the banks that were involved signed off on the deals and were paid back every penny they lent him.
And it's
nobody was harmed.
It said in his contracts for them to go with their own estimates, not hit their own private estimates. You know, the banks do their due diligence to make sure that they're going to get their money back.
Sure.
So, I mean,
banks
there was
that
no
don't
crime.
Get their money back don't stay in business.
There was no crime. This is 100% a political hit job against the former president, and all they're trying to do is interfere with the election.
It's 100% political. And this judge is politically active. He is, I mean, you can look at him and tell.
You can look at him and tell. You're right.
It's so frustrating. And that's why we say, Glenn, that liberty does really hang in the balance. Because if they can do this to Trump,
anybody, they
can do this to anybody. Yep. And that's what people always say, you know, even for those people who maybe certain things about Trump's personality they may not resonate with. But I always tell people, look, they're coming after everybody. Mm-hmm. They're not just coming after Trump. Trump's just the guy who's the target of the moment.
Right.
But if they get rid of Trump, if they successfully put him away, and it's almost like a modern day assassination. It's interesting. We'll be talking about the JFK assassination today on the show. We're going to be talking to Robert Groden, who has written many books about the subject, and I'll talk a little bit more about that in a minute. But you know what is happening today? You don't necessarily see leaders get assassinated so much,
right.
Physically killed. You don't have to do that anymore.
Well, other countries.
Other countries, yeah. It happens. Yeah. But what's happening today is sort of a digital virtual assassination of President Trump. And it's being done, ironically, under color of state authority by state actors.
Right.
By the big Fannie Willises of the world.
Right out in the open.
Right out in the open, exactly.
Not hiding anything.
And that's what's so amazing about it, Glenn, is there is really what distinguishes. We used to characterize these third world countries where the rule of law had not really caught on or was very fragile. Mm-hmm. We characterized those places as banana republics. Mm-hmm. And we said, you know, what happens there is there. That's not the way, you know, we live in a society where we have 200 years or 230 years or whatever that number was of constitutional history. Mm-hmm. And our government is above that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what we're demonstrating is we're not really above anything.
No.
Today.
Look what's going on in Haiti.
Remember
the summer of love?
Yes.
Okay. So we could have that in this country. We could have gangs that take over entire cities. The summer of love, well, they take over a couple blocks, right?
Yes. There were some independent republics that declared their independence from the U.S.
Right.
Briefly.
Right. So there, and with all the known people that have immigrated or illegally immigrated into our country, invaded our country, I should say, you know that there are terrorists. Everybody that is anybody with knowledge of our security, our national security in this country says a terrorist attack is coming.
Yeah.
And I would not be surprised.
And we've let in the people who are going to do it,
yeah,
by the way.
Right. And I honestly believe that they could take over entire cities, neighborhoods, and really have a war between areas of the country against each other because of the gangs. These guys are getting together. You know they're talking on the phone. They came here to hurt us.
Oh, absolutely.
There's lots of people that do not like America.
And these people are not, they're not all from Central America. They're not all, give me your poor, your tired, your huddled masses yearning to be free. There's 120,000 Chinese that have crossed the border.
There's going to be your technology.
And they're not all families. They're young, military-age males.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's where the technology part's going to come in. These guys have come in. They're going to really start hacking from within our country, I believe.
It's insane. It is truly insane. We are in a place as a country, Glenn, where you would think that somehow we had all executed some mutual suicide pact, and we're all going to walk out on the beach and commit Harry Caray as a nation. It's crazy.
Jim Jones. We're all going to drink the Kool-Aid, right?
It's crazy. And one of the things I was going to say, speaking of the Summer of Love, you know, since the Summer of Love, NYPD has been shrinking because, of course, they defunded the police. Over the past 18 months, 12 months in particular, we've seen dramatic headlines, NYPD cops leaving the force at an alarming rate. NYPD cops head for exits. They lost 2,500 in a quick hit in 2023, and the data shows that their payroll has been dropping ever since they had all the talk after the Summer of Love about defunding the police.
Yep.
And now, what's happening in New York? The governor has called out the National Guard to protect New Yorkers on the subway, Glenn.
Yeah. It makes no sense whatsoever. But, again, ambush police officers is on the increase as well.
Yes.
Why would you want to be a police officer today? I grew up thinking I was going to be a police officer, you know.
There's no rational reason, frankly. If you want to get really down to it, in the midst of this climate, why would you want to sign up for that? The viral video where police officers are getting attacked, dozen goons who are illegals, by the way, mercilessly beat a couple of New York City cops, and the next day they're all, you know, on a joyride to California to get a sex change funded by Gavin Newsom. I mean, the world has been turned upside down, and that's why, Glenn, it's so frustrating. But that's why we say, as Rush famously observed years ago, and it's so true today, liberalism is a mental disorder.
Mm-hmm.
if we let these people make policy, make law, or refuse to ignore the law and enforce only the laws that they like against the people that they don't like, Glenn, it's the end of society, it's the end of our culture, it's the end of our nation, it's the end of our constitutional republic, it's the end of our freedom.
We're doomed.
Yeah. Listen, we got a great show, folks, coming up for you. We're going to be talking to Robert Groden. He is the author of about a dozen books on the JFK assassination. Not long ago, I became fascinated with this topic. I'm looking forward to talking to him. Going to be a great show. I encourage you guys to stick around. This was assassination that was not virtual. It was real. And if you don't know the truth, you're going to love this episode of Saturday Morning Coffee. Stick with us. We'll be right back after these words from our sponsors. I'm Reese Boyd. That's Glenn Dye. Do not leave town. Folks, let me tell you about one of our favorite sponsors here at Saturday Morning Coffee. Of course, I'm talking about Conway Ford. We love all our sponsors here at Saturday Morning Coffee, but we especially love Conway Ford. Ford service at its best. Conway Ford is the hometown dealer, the winner of the Ford President's Award, which they recently won again. And they're the home of the best buying experience around. They absolutely guarantee it. Not only do they have the best buying experience, they got the best service experience. Pickup and delivery service for your service needs. They'll come pick up your car, have it serviced, and deliver it right back to you. Not only that, it's truck month at Conway Ford, and you can save big on all the remaining 2023 Ford F-150s in stock. So go check them out. Ask for Andy Lowe and Barry Norman. They are great folks at Conway Ford. It's the best buying experience around. I guarantee it. They guarantee it. Check them out. Church Street in Conway. It's worth the drive no matter where you're coming from. Conway Ford in Conway, and tell them you heard about it on Saturday Morning Coffee. Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to Saturday Morning Coffee. A little Indigo Girls for you on your Saturday morning. Hope you guys are waking up with us on the right side of the bed this morning. Hope your Saturday morning is shaping up well. That's what we're here for, to help you get your Saturday morning off on the right foot. A little Indigo Girls for you here on Saturday Morning Coffee. Glenn, you know, I had an interesting experience a few months ago. I went to a dinner party and somebody asked me about, they were somehow the topic of the JFK assassination came up. We were talking about it, and somebody asked me, they said, did you ever see that movie that Oliver Stone did? And I said, well, wasn't that really just mostly conspiracy theory stuff?
Right.
Because I always believed, Glenn, for the most part, in my younger years especially, I tended to believe what I was told. And when I was in school, I was taught that JFK was assassinated in Dallas November 11th, 1963.
Yeah, we saw the film.
Excuse me, November 22nd, 1963. Yeah. One assassin climbed up in the school book depository building, fired three shots.
Yeah.
And that's what my history book said.
Yeah, from
that's
a bolt-action gun that quickly. I was amazed.
Yeah. And so, of course, we heard things from time to time. There were things that happened earlier that were kind of before my time. You heard, you know, of course, you knew there were conspiracy theories out there, but I always tended to believe that that's what they were, and I believe kind of the official line. Anyway, this party said, no, you really need to check out the JFK movie, by the way, which I still have never seen. But he gave me a book by a gentleman, our guest here this morning on Saturday Morning Coffee, Robert Groden, a book that he had written called High Treason. And that book was a book that I frankly took home and it sat on my shelf for quite some time. Didn't actually read it for quite a while. And then, you know, back during the Trump administration, they had all these JFK records that were supposedly finally going to be unsealed.
Right.
And I think Mike Pompeo, somebody at CIA, leaned on Trump, said, no, we really can't release those. Don't need to release those. And so they extended the deadline yet again. And I kind of thought at the moment, I'm like, wait a minute. What's going on here?
Yep.
I mean, we're talking about something that happened 60 years ago, Glenn. Mm-hmm. Yet we're still keeping all this stuff under wraps. What is it in these documents that they don't want to let go?
Hopefully Robert's going to tell us.
Yeah, yeah. And so, and then when guess what the Biden administration did? Instead of when the same issue came up in the Biden administration, instead of giving us another extended deadline, they have delegated the authority for making the determination on when the remaining sealed records from the JFK assassination archive will be released. You know who they've delegated that decision to?
Yeah.
They've delegated that decision to the CIA. Well, there are about apparently there are about 15,000 records, Glenn, that have not been released yet after 60 years. And you know, about 11,000 of those records are, you know what they are? They're CIA records.
Sure.
Glenn.
Yeah.
And the CIA is now in charge of determining when we'll get to see those. So how long do you think we'll be waiting to see those remaining records?
A long time.
So I read the book that had been sitting on my shelf for so long, and I have to say, y'all, I'm fascinated, and you don't have to do a lot of research. So I started doing a little digging on this, but you don't have to do a lot of research to realize. I can't tell you that I have a strong opinion as to exactly what did happen in Dallas in that fateful November day in 1963, but I can tell you what did not happen, and it's not the explanation that was given us by the Warren Commission. Anyway, we are joined with that long introduction. We're joined here on the show by a very special guest this morning, Robert Groden. We tried to get Robert on once before. We had some technical difficulties with the equipment here in the studio. So, Robert, thanks so much for your patience, and thanks for joining us here on Saturday Morning Coffee.
Thanks for having me. It's great to be there.
So you're based in Texas, correct?
Yes, just outside of Dallas.
Just outside of Dallas. I actually have a friend who ran into you at the site there at Dealey Plaza and was instrumental in connecting us. Let me tell a little bit about your background. You were a film technician, correct, in a film lab in New York back in the, what, 60s? And a piece of film came across your desk. And tell us a little bit about how you became so central and so involved in this saga that is the Kennedy assassination.
Well, my birthday was November 22nd, 1963, the day of the assassination. I turned 18. And I was playing hooky from high school at the time, doing a Ferris Bueller thing, giving myself a day off. And I heard the original reports as I first came in on NBC TV. And those original reports were different than they were half an hour later. The original story, the original news item was closer to the truth. And it talked about the police chasing the assassin across the railroad tracks, which are on top of what's become known as the Grassy Knoll. And when that disappeared, I thought, well, something's crazy here. Something's going on. And I started to investigate it right away on the day of the assassination. And I've been doing it now for 60 years.
Wow.
That's how I got into it in the first place. And as far as the film goes, I worked for a company in New York City. We specialized in blowing up 8mm film to 35mm. We did it for the Woodstock movie, all the home movie stuff, the 8mm. Mm-hmm. You couldn't just do the 8mm by itself. It's too small. There's no good resolution to it. So we blew it up for them. And when Life magazine found out about it, they wanted to know if we would do it with the Zapruder film.
And the Zapruder film is the famous film that was shot from the Grassy Knoll by Aaron Zapruder, correct?
Abraham.
Abraham. Zapruder. Yes.
Yeah. And we blew it up, and it held resolution. It worked very, very well. And a copy was made that they didn't know about, and I was given that copy. A couple of years later, I was... Geraldo Rivera found out about it and asked if I would show it on his show, Good Night America. I did that, and that reopened the case.
There was
such a public outcry about the cover-up.
That was in the early 70s, correct?
1975.
Yeah. That opened the door, if I'm not mistaken, to the House Select Committee on Assassinations.
Exactly right. Yes. Yeah. I was asked to... come down to Washington, D.C. and present the evidence to the House of Representatives. And I did, the films and slides and like that. And they were so amazed at all the evidence that was actually there that they weren't allowed to see, that resolution was passed immediately to reopen the case. And I was named staff photographic consultant to the House Assassinations Committee when it was formed. I remained there for its full lifetime. And their result of their investigation for 2.5 years was that there was, in fact, a conspiracy. And that at least one shot came from the right front, from the grassy knoll. So the whole world changed because of the release of the film. I'm very, very proud of that.
You can almost, now, did the Warren Commission, they had, the Warren Commission had access to the Zapruder film, did they not?
Not the original. They had a purposely degraded copy, and they didn't study it very long. They didn't have any photographic experts deal with it. They just watched it and misrepresented what it showed. The official story was actually told by Dan Rather on CBS, and he said that when the president was struck in the head, he was thrown violently forward. That's the exact opposite of the truth. When he's struck in the head, he's thrown violently backwards. That's the most obvious thing in the film.
Yeah, and exactly.
So it was misrepresented, and that's what people were told, and that's what so many people believed because people trusted what they heard on the news. It just simply was a lie.
And people say, it's interesting to me, but just so people understand who are listening to us on radio and may not remember the details or recall the details or may have never really carefully looked at it, as I told Glenn in the intro, I initially believed what I read in my history book as a sophomore in high school, Robert, which was one gunman, three shots into the presidential limousine, and that was that, unfortunately, and a sad day, but not a conspiracy. But, you know, the school book depository building was behind the motorcade. The motorcade had passed the depository, and the motorcade was moving away toward an underpass, a railroad underpass. And so the shots came from behind, and that was the official theory. But you can look at the Zapruder film and tell that there's matter, scalp, brain matter, that goes backward from Kennedy. You can see, it's graphic, but you can see parts of Kennedy's body moving backwards toward the rear of the limousine. And so, I mean, that
right.
you don't have to be a physicist to look at the Zapruder film and to know that those shots weren't coming from, not all of them at least, were not coming from behind Kennedy.
That's correct. There's a law of physics called transfer of momentum. When the bullet strikes the head, it picks up the momentum and carries the head along with the rest of the body to the rear. The rear of the acceleration to the rear is calculated at 100.3 feet per second per second as a rate of acceleration. And there's no other explanation except that there was an outside force that acted upon it, and that was the bullet, the fatal bullet.
Mm-hmm.
Shots came from the front and the rear, both, by the way.
Yeah.
The thing is that the Kennedy assassination is the most photographed crime in history. Between the current book I have, which is called JFK Absolute Proof, and the two before it, I've released a total of 2,200 photographs. The commission released a total of seven on their own. Not 700 or 7,000, seven pictures.
Seven.
And then they re-released other photographs that have been published already. But it's amazing how much photographic evidence there is. And how it relates to both medical and ballistics evidence as well.
Well, as you start to dig into this, and one of the things that I have been truly shocked by and amazed by is you don't have to be a private investigator. You don't have to be a lawyer. I look at it. I started reading about it, as I briefly mentioned to you in our earlier calls, and I mentioned on the show. A friend of mine at a dinner party said, you know, you really should think about this as a topic for your show. And I said, isn't that mostly conspiracy stuff? And, you know, the truth is, once I looked at your book and I started doing a little digging online, anybody with an open mind and a reasonable capacity for critical thinking can go online and in about an afternoon prove to yourself that, you know, you may not be able to prove to yourself what happened, but you can prove to yourself that what we've been told for 60 years is not the truth. Robert, we've got to run to a break. Can you stick with us through a break? And we'll come back with more Robert Grodin. We'll talk a little bit more about your latest book.
Sure, absolutely.
All right, folks, we're talking to Robert Grodin. He is the author of Absolute Proof, his latest book. It's a great book. I'm holding a copy of it here in my hands. It's a beautiful book. Well done. Absolute Proof on the JFK assassination. Author Robert Grodin here this morning with us on Saturday Morning Coffee. Stick with us. We'll be right back after these words from our sponsors. I'm Reese Boyd. Don't leave town.
Ooh, is gone and I don't know why. She lit out this morning like a rusty shot in a hollow sky. She left me without warning.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to Saturday Morning Coffee, the Reese Boyd Radio Hour. Continuing our interview this morning, we're talking with Robert Groden. Robert is the author of about 11 books, I believe. How many have you written, Robert?
Well, thanks for the credit. No, it's only 8 books.
I miscounted.
Well, still, that's 8 more than us.
That's still a lot. So 8 books on the topic of the JFK assassination. And I did notice earlier when doing some of the background reading that your birthday was November 22nd, which I thought was fascinating. So it was your birthday when the assassination took place, your 18th birthday in 1963. And then you were working in the film lab that just happened to be processing for Time Life, the Zapruder film, which blew the case wide open in the mid-70s.
Which I was just watching,
yeah,
by the way.
And it's a terribly... Oh, it's graphic. It's awful to watch. But, you know, people say, why is this important? You know, why do you need to talk about this? And I've been more fascinated by this topic because as a lawyer, Robert, to me, I look at it, it's like an unsolved mystery. And I'm like, how can you can approach this, the reading about this subject as a juror, as if you are a finder of fact, and you will be astonished at the things that you read. You know, one of the things that I noted, we were talking about the Warren Commission. Among other people on the Warren Commission was Alan Dulles, who was the CIA director that JFK fired because they made such a mess of the Bay of Pigs. And so the CIA and JFK were literally at odds. That's a polite way to put it. And of course, many people think the CIA had something to do with it. It's interesting. I read in I think one of your books that the weekend, during which there's so much about this that we could go on for hours on this topic, but the weekend that JFK and his ostensible assassin Lee Harvey Oswald were killed in Dallas, where was Alan Dulles, the ostensibly fired leader of the CIA? Well, he was at a top secret CIA retreat called the Farm. One would ask logically, well, what was he doing there all weekend? I don't think he was checking on his tomato plants.
Well, Lee Harvey Oswald worked for the CIA, and the Farm is where he was trained. And one of the most important things in my book, Absolute Proof, is that when I worked for the government, I discovered a 2.5-page document signed by the director of the CIA admitting that Oswald worked for them.
Yeah.
They got him the job there. This 2.5-page letter was written by John McCone, who was the... new director of the CIA after Dulles was fired. And James Rowley, who was the head of the Secret Service, asked him whether the rumors that Oswald worked for the CIA were true. And back at the very beginning, the word hadn't gotten around yet to cover it up. And he admits it. He says Oswald was trained by the CIA under cover of the some other government agency. And anyway, it's a fascinating subject. That document alone is worth the price of the book. It's never been published before, and it tells where Oswald was trained, when, how, what his assignments were.
And, you know, the interesting thing – I'm sorry, Robert, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Go ahead.
There's a wealth of information, as you said. It talks about his training, and he had CIA handlers. There were, you know, people that he was staying with in Dallas that, you know, babysat for his children who were, in fact, either family members or were themselves CIA operatives. I mean, it's crazy. And one of the things that struck me as particularly telling, by all accounts, when Lee Harvey Oswald, I mean, there's obvious physical problems with the actual shooting itself. You know, Oswald is placed, the shooting... Undeniably, if you believe the shooting came from the school book depository, that shooting undeniably happened in the 6th floor window. And yet we have eyewitness testimony that places Oswald both a couple of minutes before and a few minutes after the shooting in the 2nd floor break room and not having broken a sweat.
That's correct. Now, the other thing, too, which nobody really knew about because the Warren Commission covered it up, is there was an eyewitness talking to Oswald as the shots went off. Her name was Geraldine Reed. Oswald had been eating his lunch in the snack room on the second floor of the depository, and about a minute before the shots were fired, he walked across the hallway into the office and asked for change of a dollar bill so he could use the Coca-Cola machine. As the change is being counted out into his hand, the shots went off. Oswald had an airtight alibi. He was talking to somebody as it happened.
As the shots were fired.
Four floors over. Yeah, there you go.
And
Geraldine Reed, the woman who I was talking about, testified about that to the Warren Commission. They buried her testimony and told her to keep her mouth shut. And she did.
And there are multiple eyewitnesses who placed the motorcade was supposed to come through Dealey Plaza. And by the way, it juked. It made a little right-hand turn and drove a block and then make a left-hand turn right literally at where the depository building was. And I read somewhere online that that was because the mayor of Dallas made that change to the motorcade route. It wasn't a necessary change. It actually took him out of the way a little bit, but it brought him by the school book depository building. And I read in a couple of sources that the mayor had himself had ties to the CIA, but the motorcade was supposed to come by at 12:55. It was running about 5 minutes late. And so if you're a lone gunman and you're a disgruntled Army vet and you're a Soviet sympathizer and all the things that we were supposedly told about Oswald, and you are going to shoot the president at 1 p.m. at 12:55, where many people in the room place him at 12:55, 5 minutes before the motorcade comes by, would you be four floors down enjoying a Coke? It doesn't even make sense.
Yeah, none of it does. Let me explain, since it's radio and you can't show it, the book is called Absolute Proof, and it has 1,000 photographs in it.
Yes.
Color throughout. It's a fantastic book. I'm very proud of it. Of the 8 books I've written, it is by far the best. But because it's such an involved book and costs so much to print, that we don't have it in bookstores. It's only available from us. So if you're interested in getting the book, if anyone out there wants to get it, the book is normally $100. It costs about $20 to ship it. So what I'm doing is absorbing that cost and just charging the $100, including the shipping, and charging just $80 for it on top of that. And the book weighs 4 pounds. It's acid-free, semi-gloss paper, so the colors will never shift. And I'm very, very proud of the book. And if anyone's interested in the Kennedy case, there's a lot of new stuff there.
Yeah.
There's a lot of new evidence that wasn't released before, stuff that I've been sitting on for years because I had a non-disclosure agreement with the government. And when I worked for them, I had to sign the agreement, but it was determined that it was it was unenforceable and illegal. The agreement itself. So that opened up the door.
Robert, that I have thoroughly enjoyed reading the book. What I will do is, you mentioned you were having a problem with your website. If folks want to order that book from you, and I appreciate the offer for the discount for our listeners, I will post your address on the site for the Saturday Morning Coffee program. And of course, if folks want to get in touch with me at the office, I'll be glad to give them that address as well. But we'll post that address so folks can send you the price, and it's well worth the price, folks. It's a beautiful book, and it is something that you will be mesmerized for hours with the book. And let me ask you this question, Robert: What is the new evidence that you find most compelling that tells the story of a conspiracy? Because the House or the Select Committee said there was a conspiracy, but they never pointed the finger directly at anybody. Of course, some people say it is the CIA. Some people say it is the mob. Some people say it was Cuban immigrants, the Cuban exile community. Who would you say is the most responsible party? And what is the evidence that you think is the new evidence that's most damning?
Well, the best guess, Evan, as to who was actually behind the shooting, not who the actual trigger men were, but who was behind it, is the covert actions branch of the CIA, not the entire organization, but the people that were at war with the president, the people that were behind the Vietnam War. There's that. And then organized crime. Bobby Kennedy and John Kennedy were fighting the only effective war in this nation's history against organized crime. And that war stopped the day of the assassination. Those are the two most responsible, as I see it, and have seen it for several years. As far as the new evidence that's the most important is the fact that I've interviewed, myself, I've interviewed nearly 30 of the actual medical witnesses, the doctors, et cetera, at Parkland Hospital. I publish in Absolute Proof the testimony and the statements of 79 witnesses that saw the president's head wound. Every single one of them said the shot came from the front and exited the rear of the head. The hole in the back of the head, the exit wound, was the size of a grown man's fist. This would not have happened had the shot come from behind. It would have been a small entrance wound.
Sure.
So that's very important, too. The document that I mentioned before about the that I was working for the CIA, that's new. That's very important, too. But the photographic evidence that I published is to back up all the other evidence, the eyewitness testimony, et cetera. 80% of the people in Dealey Plaza were aware of shots from the front, and of course they were ignored by the Warren Commission. What happened was the Dallas police got the original statements by these people, and the only people that the Warren Commission were interested in talking to the ones that said what they wanted to believe, which is that all the shots came from behind, which is not what happened.
Yeah, one of the things that I was astonished to learn in my recent research on this is that the very afternoon of the assassination, Robert, there was an announcement by the powers that be at DPD, Dallas Police Department, and elsewhere, that Lee Harvey Oswald had been located, arrested. He was the shooter. It was one gunman. He fired three shots, and there was no conspiracy. And that was all announced the same day.
How about that?
I mean,
take them along.
How on earth did we become so bad at police work in the last 60 years? It's astonishing. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
It goes beyond that because, for instance, the fact that Oswald was found so soon after the assassination and was blamed for not only shooting the president but for shooting a Dallas police officer named J.D. Tippit. When Oswald could not have gotten there fast enough, there was no way on the face of the earth he could have done it. He would have had to break world records of speed at the time. So, again, the evidence is so strong
in
every aspect of the case. The medical evidence, the ballistics evidence, photographic evidence, eyewitness testimony, all points to conspiracy, every one of them.
It is unbelievable. Well, Robert, we've got to run to a hard break. Listen, thank you so much. I may have you on again. There were more questions I had for you, but thank you for joining us this morning on Saturday Morning Coffee. We're going to post your address. And when you do get the website up and running, let us know. We'll share that. And hopefully folks will patronize, get your book. It's fascinating. It's a great book. It's a great read, and it's worth every penny. Folks, so thanks, Robert. Come back anytime.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Folks, Robert Groden here on Saturday Morning Coffee. Stick with us. We'll be right back after these words from our sponsors. I'm Reese Boyd. Don't leave town. Hi, everybody. It's Reese Boyd, your host for Saturday Morning Coffee, and we're here today talking with Scott Pyle of Pyle Financial Services. Scott, you hear a lot in the news today about ESG. What exactly is ESG, and why is it important for investors?
Well, it stands for environmental, social, and governance. And you would think those were good things, but the way companies are using it today would probably stand against most of our clients and any moderate to conservative out there.
Most companies seek to maximize value for shareholders, correct?
Correct. And you need to make sure the companies you own do just that, because that is becoming a thing of the past.
Folks, that's great financial advice from Scott Pyle and Pyle Financial Services. If you'd like an x-ray of your portfolio, be in touch. Reach them anytime at 843-945-4255.
4480 or find them online at PileFinancialServices.com. It's Powell Financial Services, aligning wealth with purpose.
Securities and advisory services offered through Prospera Financial Services. Member FINRA SIPC.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to Saturday Morning Coffee, the Reese Boyd Radio Hour. Thanks for sticking with us. You've made it to the parting wisdom segment. Glenn, we don't really need a parting wisdom segment. There's been so much wisdom that we've shared this morning. I want to thank Robert Groden, our special guest, and I'm holding the book, and we will post a link. Mr. Groden told me that he was having a problem with his website. You can find the book at Amazon, but he really prefers you to buy it from him. It's a lot better for him, and so I would encourage you to support the author by buying this book from him. We'll post his address online. He asked me to do that. So on the Saturday Morning Coffee Facebook page, you'll find how you can contact the author of JFK Absolute Proof. And when he gets his website up and running again, we'll post that. But it is well worth the $100, and that's a $20 discount for Saturday Morning Coffee listeners. It's a thick coffee table. I mean, look at it, Glenn. It's a hefty book.
And it's beautiful.
And the information in here will astound you, folks, and there are plenty of other sources. I have been amazed at what I learned on the subject, and I thought I knew what I thought I knew, Glenn, and that's why it's been such an amazing inquiry for me. People ask, why is it important? We talk about the deep state all the time on this show, Glenn, and on this station. Other shows talk about the deep state and the problems that we have with the deep state today. And the deep state didn't start with the JFK assassination, but I firmly believe, you know, you heard Eisenhower talk about the military-industrial complex, and I think a lot of this has to do with the fact that there were some very powerful people who were going to benefit from the Vietnam War financially.
Right.
And JFK was talking about ending the Vietnam War. And so that, to me, it wasn't the beginning of the deep state, but the assassination. JFK famously said, I'm gonna break the CIA into 1,000 pieces and scatter it to the wind.
Right.
And so it wasn't the beginning of the deep state, but it's where the deep state metastasized. Folks, let me leave you with this bit of wisdom. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he'll direct your paths. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Y'all have a great week. We'll see you next week.
Thanks for waking up with Saturday Morning Coffee, the Reese Boyd Radio Hour on Talk 94.5.